Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be His ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
My number one passion, my number one focus, my number one calling in my life was passing my faith to other people's children. So I'm the youth pastor at my church. Let's say I'm the youth pastor here. My number one passion, my number one focus is helping all your kids, all your grandkids follow Jesus. I want to teach them the Bible. I want to teach them the gospel. I want to teach them to pray. I want to teach them to follow God, share their faith, you name it. I want to help everybody else's kids grow. And at the same time, I had absolutely no vision, passion, intentionality, or even heart to do the same thing with my kids at home. I was this great spiritual leader at church and completely passive in my house. You got a marriage crisis? Oh, let's meet. Let's talk. Let's pray. Let me show you some of the scriptures. Let me encourage you in your marriage. All the while, 10 years of marriage with Amy, hardly ever prayed with my own wife. I mean, after all, Pastor, you understand, we're in prayer meetings all day. Our job is just so spiritual. I'm all prayed out by the time I get home. Can't be expected to pray with her. You see, folks, my spiritual life was completely dedicated to my spiritual opportunities at church and in the community, and I was completely neglecting my spiritual responsibilities at home.
Welcome to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. Now you're ready. Now you're awake. You thought you would take that afternoon break and just kind of snooze a little bit, but now we've grabbed your attention. That is Dr. Rob Reno, and we are going to have what I believe is going to be an encouraging and a challenging conversation for the next several minutes. And so I hope that you will tune in, and I hope that you bring to this conversation a tender heart and a belief that the scriptures still have bearing on our families for today. So we're going to talk about the condition of our families. You know, every time you hear me talking about the family, you probably think Miki just has one note. That is just her only note. But I see what the enemy has done, and unfortunately successfully done, to the family. And I look at it spilling out into the culture, and we look around and we say, well, what's going on in the culture? Well, I always go back to the church, because the charge to be salt and light is ours. Passing the gospel down intact to our family, that's given to us, the household of faith. That's given to the people of God. And so I'm excited to have this conversation. And so before we get into it, though, let me make formal introductions here. Dr. Rob Reno's most important ministry is loving his wife and leading their 7 children to love God. He is the founder of Visionary Family Ministries, whose mission is to build the church through a global reformation of family discipleship. Family discipleship. Rob is a pastor, church planter, international conference speaker, and the author of several books, including Visionary Parenting. We're going to talk about that today. Visionary Marriage and When They Turn Away, Drawing Your Adult Children Back to Christ. Rob and his family live in West Chicago, Illinois. And we're also going to talk about the series Generations, Following Jesus as a Family, which is also available on their website, visionaryfam.com. visionaryfam.com. Dr. Reno, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule and joining us today to encourage the body of Christ and to share this message that I believe is so critical to the body of Christ today.
Well, thank you for having me. I've been looking forward to this.
Me too. Me too. I mean, since I started digging into your content, doing this along with my husband, Will the Great, we have been so encouraged and church. Give our listeners just a little bit of background. They heard the clip. They heard you sharing, and it was so vulnerable to share that, you know, here you were doing all of this work for the Lord, but your family was suffering. But the Lord used that as the catalyst to start not only your own journey getting back to your family, but also to encourage the body of Christ with this ministry that you've started.
Yeah, well, in the clip that you played, I shared a little bit about this real chapter of repentance and brokenness in my life. It was 2004, And Amy and I had been married 10 years. We had 4 children. And I was so focused on my church work that my family was getting the leftovers and the scraps. I mean, literally, I was praying with other people's kids and not praying with mine. I'm reading the Bible with other people's kids and not reading the Bible with mine. You know, I'm doing like lock-ins with junior hires, right? Which is a terrible idea. I don't know whoever came up with that. But all these plans and visions, and we loved our season in youth ministry. Absolutely loved it. But boy, I had to come to a real place. The Holy Spirit and the Word and my wife, God used her so powerfully to just show me that I was just upside down and backwards. And I was neglecting my first, and I know this is kind of churchy, I was neglecting my first Great Commission ministry, right? You know, Jesus says, go and make disciples. I was neglecting the ministry of making disciples first in my home. And our family changed so dramatically, and then our ministry began to change so dramatically because I'm like, well, man, if the scriptures say that I should be the primary spiritual trainer of my kids in the home, then the scriptures say that all the other parents in my church should be the primary spiritual trainers of their kids in the home. But we've kind of set up this system where, hey, all you need to do, Christian parent, is just drop your kid off at Sunday school, drop your kid off at youth group. You know, we professionals will take it from there. And then that sent us down this whole journey of what would it really look like for the church around the world to shift gears to equipping the home for spiritual success and equipping parents and grandparents to be the primary trainers of the kids in the home, and the church to be the reinforcement. And out of that came what is now, you know, Visionary Family Ministries.
You know, it's amazing that what you are suggesting right now sounds revolutionary and I would say causes a lot of anxiety in some of the body of Christ, like who parents who would be listening to this right now maybe were overwhelmed with a sense of this is insurmountable. I mean, this is why we have youth pastors. This is why we have the church. I mean, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to bring them to you and you're supposed to train them and you're supposed to equip them. But, you know, Dr. Reno, as I look at a little bit of church history, as you read through the scriptures, you can see that this was really a foreign concept to the early church. This was something that that would have been understood to the point that it would have been elementary, that the parents existed to pass down the gospel to their children, or that they would not have skipped over their children to go outside of their household for this sort of like, you know, now I'm fulfilling the Great Commission. It would have been automatic that it started inside the home, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. One of my mentors, Ben Freudenberg, he has a wonderful phrase. He says, for 1900 years of Christianity, when it came to passing faith to the next generation, we were home-centered and church-supported. Mm-hmm. But in the 20th century, we flipped that around and we became church-centered, and specifically church-building-centered, and the home became a support to the church. And one, not only is that model unbiblical, and I'm not saying that it's wrong to have Sunday school and youth group. I'm saying that it's an unbiblical model to have Sunday school and youth group as the primary trainer of the child. And not only is it unbiblical, but it's horrendously ineffective. I mean, your shows, Christians all over the country are burdened with the generational decline, right, that we're seeing in the faith. So many young people walking away from the faith when they become adults. And I am absolutely convinced at the center of that is we've really got two generations now where their spiritual training really was delegated to the church and the home took a back seat. And we're seeing the results of it now.
And it's insufficient. It's, you know, in addition, it is wholly insufficient to believe that a couple hours a week is enough to stave off the onslaught of the culture or to protect your kids from the type of indoctrination that has infiltrated and not just our kids' schools, but also in some areas of the church. And so you find and even in our own homes, we are battling against the culture that I say it's this ooze that keeps trying to slip under the door and into the cracks. And, you know, and we've got to be vigilant. I think one of the things we probably should back up and do here, Dr. Reno, is kind of define the purpose of parenting and the purpose of the family structure. I think when we start there, maybe it paints a better picture that people can really understand what God had in mind and even for the proliferation of the gospel.
Yeah. Well, the scripture that absolutely changed my life and changed our family is Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, Jesus says, this is a big one, right? So Jesus is asked, what's the most important commandment in the Bible? And he cites Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. And for any listener, if you've been around church before, it's a very familiar passage to you. We call it the Great commandment. But Deuteronomy 6:5 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And then it says, these commandments that I give to you today shall be upon your heart. So what we get there is like the two foundations of the Christian life, which is a love for God and a love for his word. And as a pastor and a Christian, I've seen that many, many times, but I had never kept reading. I had never continued to see, where does God go next? In other words, okay, God wants us to love him, but where do we start? What does that look like? Very next verse, he speaks to parents and grandparents, and he says, teach the word of God diligently to your children. And then this amazing, simple, powerful action step, talk about them, talk about the word of God, talk about your relationship with Jesus when you sit at home. Mm-hmm. The connection, once I saw loving God with all my heart, started with talking about the Lord at home with my family, everything changed. You say, what's the purpose of family? I believe that God created the family as a discipleship center. It is a spiritual transformation center. One of the things, a hot topic in the church today, the last 20, 30 years, is the importance of small groups, right? Discipleship small groups, community groups, growth groups, whatever you want to call them. And I think those are great. And you know, God believes in discipleship small groups. He just has another name for them. He calls them families.
Come on,
our
that's so good.
Pray together, read scripture together, encourage each other spiritually. And then the purpose of parenting. Why would God give us children? You know, sometimes I've had 3 a.m. moments with the Lord. You know, God, why'd you give me these kids? I feel so inadequate and so insecure about my parenting. But the answer that comes through the scriptures and from Deuteronomy 6, God gives us kids so that we might do all in our power. Now, we don't have a magic formula, but that we might do all in our power to impress their hearts with a love for him, to equip them to make a difference in this world for Christ and for his kingdom. And more than anything else, if you're wondering, why has God put your children in your home? It's to help them safely home to their Father in heaven forever. Mm. That's why they're there. That is the purpose of being a parent. And once we lock on to that, everything changes.
Everything does change. I mean, this is just, forgive my pauses, you know, right? I'm supposed to be like in this moment, but this is such a ministry and this is such an opportunity for the body of Christ to grow. And I think what you're saying in some ways can sound very provocative, because what happens is then you have to get kind of introspective. And this is what you did in 2004. You know, you yeah. do this internal sort of inventory where you say, Am I really living according to the expectations that God has set for me, right? And we look at our families, but it's also a beautiful moment, because if we're out of order, right, it's the love of God that rebukes us and that corrects us and that we can fix it, we can get it back in line. So let's kind of turn our attention to the book, Visionary Parenting, subtitled Capture a God-Sized Vision for Your Family. Talk about some of those power-packed moments that exist within the small group discipleship that is the family.
Well, this scripture, Deuteronomy 6, that so transformed my life was such an encouragement and such a help to me, because I felt so kind of insecure and inadequate, even in my family, to help my kids follow Jesus. And so in Deuteronomy 6:7, God gives us four really specific moments of the day where he wants us to have a spiritual touch with our kids and grandkids. The first one says, talk about them when you sit at home. Down through the centuries, that's been called family worship, a few moments of family Bible, a few moments of family prayer. Then it says, talk about them when you walk along the road. Back in ancient times, if you're going from one thing to another, you're walking. So today, we're probably in the car. So car time is just a great time for a spiritual touch. Praying before you leave the driveway, putting on some Christian worship music. And then the last two moments, it says, talk about the Lord when you lie down and when you get up. Last few minutes of the day for a prayer, for a scripture, a blessing for the child, and then first few minutes of the day, starting the day with the Lord. Those four power-packed moments have changed our family.
When you break it down like that, Dr. Reno, it really does seem like this is something that all of us can do. I want to do this. I want to grab the break. And when we come back, I want to continue our discussion. Dr. Rob Reno is my guest. We're talking visionary parenting on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Now, the early church, they thought like this. They thought multi-generationally. They connected the home with the advance of the gospel. Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit's fallen on the followers of Christ at Pentecost, and now Peter is preaching the first evangelistic sermon of the early church. And this is what he says. Acts chapter 2. He says, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, verse 39, "The promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." There it is again, the threefold move of the gospel. You, your kids in the world, you, your kids in the world, you, your kids in the world. And lo and behold, again, 20th century Christianity, we cut the middle piece out. And so now sermons in churches all over the country right now are basically the same two points in many churches. Point one, get right with God through Jesus. Point two, please volunteer in one of our ministries. Please go do something good. Please get out there. And God, praise God for both those points. But friends, that's not the biblical order of preaching. It's not the biblical order of discipleship. The biblical order is get right with God, repent, trust Christ. And do you have parents? Honor them. Prepare to take care of them in their old age. 1 Timothy 5:7, if you don't take care of the needs of your immediate family, you're worse than an unbeliever. Do you have brothers or sisters that need the Lord? Your gospel ministry begins with them. Are you a married person? God has entrusted a soul into your care for the rest of your life, and your best ministry goes to him, goes to her. Have you got kids? Have you got grandkids? Well, God's given those souls to your care. To do all in your power, there's no magic formulas, to do all in your power to impress their hearts with a love for him, help them get safely home to their Father in heaven. Oh, and then as a family, would you please volunteer in one of our ministries? As a family, would you please serve your neighbors? As a family, would you please go on that mission trip? So you see, people say, well, you're just so inward, you just want to take care of the family. No, it's a matter of first things first. It's our hearts with the Lord, our hearts living out our ministry at home in our primary discipleship small group called our family, and then overflowing into our church and overflowing into our neighborhood and to the ends of the earth.
We are reclaiming biblical truth for our family. I mean, what is replete in the scriptures that we have lost in the church today, we are reclaiming that. And it can seem revolutionary. It can seem overwhelming. But I will tell you that it is not insurmountable. It is not something that we cannot do. This would have been characteristic of the early church to be discipling and training our children. And in fact, our children serving a part in getting the gospel to us today intact. And so anyway, welcome back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I'm Miki, and I'm talking today with Dr. Rob Reno. He and his wife, Amy Reno, have co-authored the book, Visionary Parenting, Capture a God-Sized Vision for Your Family. We're talking about that. We're also talking about the ministry that he has founded, Visionary Family Ministries. And then we're talking about this teaching series that he has out, Generations, Following Jesus as a Family. And as you heard just in that clip, there is something incredibly encouraging, and I don't want to overuse the word empowering, but I will use that word. When you think about what God has entrusted to you and what you are able to do with your family. Dr. Reno, let's kind of visit that again. When we talk about our roles as parents and what we're supposed to be doing in training and discipling our children, it seems that in some instances we have talked ourselves out of being able to do this because we say, well, I don't have a degree in this. I've not been to seminary. I don't have an MDiv. I don't know if I can really train my kids. I should leave that to the professionals.
Yeah, that's exactly right. This is not about you becoming a perfect Christian to help your kids become perfect Christians. That's not going to happen until Jesus comes back. This is also not about, as you said, teaching seminary class in your house, as if that the goal of home discipleship is just making sure we pack our kids' brains with enough Bible and apologetics or something like that. Mm-hmm. This is a mom and a dad and a grandma and grandpa who want in their heart to love God, and they just want their children and grandchildren to love God more than them. They just want their kids and grandkids to be more faithful than they have been. So the invitation to our children is, look, I'm bumbling and stumbling along in my faith by the grace of God and the love of Christ, and I want you to bumble and stumble along with me. But I just want you to be more faithful than I've been. I want you to receive this baton of faith so that you can carry Christ and the gospel into the future generations. This is first and foremost, you know, our ministry, we don't do a lot of 5 tips for teens and 10 tips for toddlers and stuff like that. I mean, we do practical things, yes. But our ministry fundamentally is focused on the heart. We need God to turn our hearts to the hearts of our kids, to turn our hearts to the priority of our kids' spiritual condition and walk with Christ. I'll tell you, there's a scripture just right now in my parenting that is convicting me over and over and over again. And it is a real simple one that Jesus says. Jesus says, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and everything else will be added to you as well. And the Lord has been convicting me. Rob, do you really believe that for your own children? Do you really believe that if they'll seek the Lord first, that God will take care of everything else in their life? They'll take care of their school, take care of the college, he'll take care of their mate, take care of everything. And I say, oh, yes, of course, I believe that, I believe that. Well, sometimes I do and sometimes I don't, the way I stress out about right grades and colleges and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. But boy, if we believe Jesus' words, my kids need to follow the Lord and his righteousness more than anything.
What does that look like? I think that there may be, and myself included, as I'm connecting with the words that you're using, you know, that we are seeking first the kingdom of God, but at the same time, there is a reality that we have to live life. So there is school and there are grades and there is also this thought about a career and about a mate. And when you consider the kind of world that our kids are growing up in, what does it look like to practically seek first the kingdom of God, right? And to understand that and all of its implications while doing those things that are still necessary?
Well, let me go give you a real nuts and bolts example here. Okay, we really enjoy sports in our family. By the way, we have 7 children. Our oldest is 21. Our youngest is 5. 2 in college, 2 in high school, 2 in elementary, 1 in preschool. My 21-year-old is a college baseball player and a scholarship college baseball player. And last year, if you know baseball, he was in a little bit of a hitting slump for a little while. And so dad's getting a little stressed about that. And so I'm on the phone with him, and I say, hey, RW, listen, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you're at, when you go up to the plate tonight in this game, you're going to see the ball well. You're going to be calm in your heart that God's going to give you some hits tonight. And my son says to me, Dad, I appreciate you praying for my hits, but I really need you to pray for my heart.
Oh, wow.
Mike, good point, son. Well taken. Because even he understood at the end of the day that what mattered, right, was not whether he's going to get a hit that night. It was whether or not he was going to continue to trust God through what would be a storm with a small s, right? A hitting slump is a, when it comes to life crises, that would be a small one. But he's like, I need to have the right attitude with the Lord, and I need to be there cheering on my teammates who are getting hits, even if I'm not. So, I mean, there's a, you know, that's just sports, right? It's just hitting balls around and doing whatever. But even in those moments, there's an opportunity. What would it look like just to have our hearts on the Lord? Have our hearts focused on our character versus our performance so that the Lord can use us in all the different environments where we're in.
So you and your wife, Amy, you guys would be the parents of millennials and Gen Zers. In your own family, you've got these yep. two generations that you are looking at. And, you know, so I want to ask you a question. When we're talking about the type of influence, there is a built-in influence that the Lord gives us in our kids' lives, right? That they are looking to us. It's almost automatic. And you seem to have that by default for a while. And then they hit this age where they sort of are not really looking to us for that influence. How do we maintain that? And how do we see that influence operate productively in their lives as they go through these different stages of growth?
Yeah. Well, as our kids get older, the way it's supposed to work is that they become increasingly independent, right? We barring some special circumstance, we'd rather not have a 30-year-old living in our basement playing video games. So as they go through high school, for instance, my 2 high school kids are physically separate from me more than my elementary school kids. They are out of the house, they're playing sports, they're going to work, they're doing all these different things. But as our kids get older, I believe the biblical vision is that while we're physically more separate from them, we become closer to them in our hearts, and we build a closer relationship with them. Because, you see, my high school kids are now making decisions that are life and death, lifelong impact decisions. Your teenager, folks, needs you more than they've ever needed you before. And so what you can see is how the enemy works. Is that once fifth, sixth grade comes, the enemy puts so much firepower on breaking the heart connection, breaking the warmth between the parent and the child. And why does he do that? Why does he want to break the relationship? Because that fifth and sixth grader is now about to enter 6 years of critical launch window, right? This is the launch into adulthood window. Mm-hmm. So the goal of the enemy is to separate the child from the parent in their relationship. So the Christian parent says, well, I want nothing to do with that. Yes, my child is going to be physically more separate from me, but we are going to build the kind of relationship that's going to be closer than ever before. And then on the college side, let me tell you a quick conversation I had with both of my college kids, which has been ongoing. And I'll use RW as another example. When RW was 18, he's going to go away to school. I say, okay, son, for the next 4 years, you and I have a critical window in our relationship. We have got to shift our relationship from father-son to man-to-man. I don't want to be this father-son for the rest of our lives. No, yes, I'm always your dad. Yes, you're always my son. But we have got to shift to adult-to-adult, man-to-man. And one of the ways that we've done that, and it's been so powerful, is that we are probably the first people in the world that we share our prayer requests with. If Amy and I are having a rough marriage day, my son is the first one I text. Hey, RW, Mom and I are having a rough marriage day. Would you please pray for me to be a loving, servant, godly husband today? And people are like, oh, my goodness, you tell your kids you're having a bad marriage day? I'm like, well, he grew up with us. He's not under any illusion that his parents have it all together. But becoming prayer partners with my kids enables us to move into this new chapter in our relationship.
Man, that's just profound. I mean, and it seems so practical, but it can also seem pretty scary, as you alluded to, you know, oh my goodness, you share this with your kids. But I think it helps foster the type of relationship that you're going for. When you show your kid what it's like to live as a faithful believer, you're not trying to set yourself up as super Christian, but you're also not trying to diminish God's standard of holiness. There is a standard of holiness that the Lord has called us to. It's an amazing tightrope that we're walking, or do you see it that way? Is it a tightrope?
Well, it's a tightrope in the sense that, and I think you shared this in the introduction of the show, that the enemy, the Satan and the demons and the spirit of the world give maximum firepower to the family. Because manhood, womanhood, sexuality, marriage, and the home are the foundation blocks for all of life, and every civilization, and every nation, and the church itself. So if Satan and the demons want to take down the church and the nations, they strike the base. They strike the home, which is why, you know, okay, you go back to junior high. Moms out there, you pick up your daughter from seventh grade youth group at church, right? And you say, how was youth group? And she gets in the car. You say, how was youth group tonight? She says, fine. Well, what'd you learn? Well, stuff, nothing. You know, and you get the sense that the girl's bristling, right, under the intense interrogation of the mother. And after all, I mean, those are some pretty horrible questions, right? I mean, how was youth group? What did you learn? What a monster mom you are. And you get the sense that there's this spiritual resistance even to the questions. Now, what the world says is, hey, that's totally normal, totally fine. You see, she's an adolescent now. She's not going to want to talk to you. Your job is just to get her in good environment, and maybe she'll emerge from this when she's 20 and you can have a relationship someday. But that is actually spiritual attack in that girl's life to take her heart away from mom and give it to somebody else. Now, there's wonderful people at youth group, but they're not mom. So the Christian parent recognizes this is a spiritual battle for my kids' hearts, and I'm going to pursue them. I'm going to pursue an open-hearted relationship with them so that I can point their hearts to Christ.
Now, this is amazing, because what I hear you doing is I hear you contradicting popular thought that has no root in or no root in scripture, right? It has no scriptural basis, because popular thought says if you keep pressing, if you keep going after that connection, what you're going to do is just drive them further away from you. But I hear you saying keep fighting to keep this heart connection with your child.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, there's ways to do it that are more helpful and ways to do it that are more hurtful. I'll tell you a story about my 17-year-old son, JD. He was about 14 years old, and a few weeks had gone by, and he was acting quite annoyed when I was around, just bristly. And when I walked in the room, I got the sense that he'd rather I didn't walk in the room. And when we sense that with our kids, one of the approaches that we take is to ask the child if we've done anything to hurt them. Because sometimes kids don't want us around because they feel hurt by us. So I said in a moment, I said, hey, JD, have I done anything to hurt you or upset you because you're acting like you don't really want me around? He's like, well, yeah, Dad, you have. I'm like, okay. I was kind of expecting the answer to be no and move on to try to find something else. But and he went on to say, it was really insightful. He said that he was 14. He said, Dad, when you talk to me more like my 7-year-old brother, Ray, and I want you to talk to me more like my 18-year-old brother, RW.
Wow.
And he was, and it dawned on me, you know, because he's 14 at this time, and I'm still treating him like a kid. And he sees the way I'm treating his older brother as a young man, and he was absolutely right. I was, you know, Ephesians 6:4 says to fathers, don't exasperate your children.
That's right.
Right? Don't arouse deep anger and bitterness. Don't disrespect them. I was disrespecting my son with the way I was talking to him. So I repented to him and asked his forgiveness and said, Judy, I want to work on this. If you catch me doing this again, help me out. So there's all sorts of ways that we're trying to pursue our kids' hearts and seek to build a one-hearted relationship with them. It's not a bulldozer approach of, well, you need to sit there and talk to me, and I don't know why you don't talk to me anymore. That's probably going to make them just go deeper into that shell.
Oh, man, this is so good. Dr. Reno, thank you so much. I'm telling you, so much of this is practical and at the same time profound. I'm really enjoying this, and I know that many of our listeners are. Let me also direct them again to your website. It's visionaryfam.com. You can learn more about Visionary Family Ministries when you go to visionaryfam.com. We come back, we're going to turn our attention toward the teaching series, Generations, Following Jesus as a Family. And then also, I want to double back to something that Dr. Reno said about the enemy attacking the base. So stay close.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
One of the principles that we find in Scripture is that we reap what we sow. You find that in the book of Galatians, you find it elsewhere. So I'd like to get a fresh apple this afternoon, and so I'm going to get my apple seed. I'm going to plant it in the ground right after the service, and around 3, 4 o'clock, I'll go pick my apple and enjoy. Probably not, right? Well, why not? Well, because there's always a delay between the sowing of the seed and the reaping of the fruit. There's a gap between those two things. And one of the things we see in Scripture is that sometimes the delay between the sowing of a life and the reaping of its fruit is a generational delay. Sometimes the greatest fruit from a person's life, for good or for bad, comes out in the lives of their children or their grandchildren.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I don't know if you are enjoying this conversation more than I am. You're probably not, but I'm glad you tuned in anyway. I'm Miki, in for Abraham Hamilton III, and my guest has been Dr. Rob Reno, and we are talking about the book Visionary Parenting. We're talking about family, and we're talking about what our roles are and what God has called us to do, what is evident in the Scriptures. And really, today, in the time that we're living in, is quite countercultural, but we do it anyway. I want to double back to something, Dr. Reno, that you alluded to in the last segment, where we were talking about the enemy attacking the base. And I want to ask you a question about that, but I kind of want to set it up with a little bit of an anecdote, if you will. So I grew up in a broken family, right? So my dad left my mom, and we grew up in church. My mom loved the Lord. And, you know, there was still a deficit there when, you know, we try to pretend that there's not a deficit. But I grew up without this sort of firsthand experience of marriage to see what a marital relationship looked like. And so when my husband and I got married, one of the things that I really wanted to explore was how to live as a wife. Like I felt like I knew how to live as a single believer. I was a missionary before I got married. And so there was a new challenge, right? And one of those things that was really difficult for me was submission and understanding the husband role and the wife role, because I had not seen it in practice. My mom made all of the decisions. There was no one that she had to consult. So what I adopted as my practice, because I think left to myself, I will just make decisions. Oh, I can do this. I know what to do. We're going to do this. So what I intentionally do is slow myself down and I say, you know what? I'm going to talk to Will about this. Let's see what Will thinks about this. And let me get his input on this. Let me not just make decisions. And so as the kids have grown up, I've done this in front of them because I want my daughters to see what it looks like that the father is the head of our family, that he makes the final decision. There may be times where we discuss things. Well, one day I was, you know, saying to the kids, as is my routine, you know what? We need to talk to Daddy about this and see what Daddy thinks. And my oldest, who is the most vocal of the five, okay, probably is most like me, right? And my oldest said, well, why do you always have to ask Daddy? She said, can't you just make up your own mind? And I thought, oh, Lord, because it struck right at what would be a source of pride for me, right? That I can think independently. I can make up my own mind. I can, you know, come to a conclusion, make a decision. But I have chosen to submit to Daddy and his position, his role as the head of our family. This is biblical. So I had to kind of like talk myself down off the ledge. You know what I mean? Because it's very provocative, this question. But I understood it because her personality is, you know, such that she's kind of take charge. She wants to just make decisions and just go. But it was an opportunity, I think, looking back to what you said in the last segment, to really sort of defend and protect the base, right? Because when you have these roles in the family, one of the ways that the enemy attacks is with gender roles and the way God has established and set up the family. So that's a long way of me asking you to speak to that.
Okay, we'll solve that in 60 seconds. No, I, you know, one of the things we ought to talk about is doing a follow-up show sometime on our visionary marriage book. Get Amy on with me. That'd be a wonderful conversation. But boy, back to your story, you know, similar to mine, neither one of my parents were Christians when they got married. My mother was my father's fourth wife. My father was my mother's second husband. My mom came to Christ when I was a baby. She was the first Christian in our whole family tree. And then my parents got divorced when I was 15. My dad had affairs outside the marriage. So similar to you, I didn't grow up with any, like I had a Christian mom who led me to the Lord, but I never saw a Christian family, you know, Christian husband, Christian father, any of that stuff. And so one of the messages there is that just God loves to take broken things, make them whole. He loves to do generational work.
Amen.
Generational progress. And so that's what we're experiencing, that miracle in our home. But what you're talking about, you know, first of all, with your daughter, that's a great comment from her and a great insight from her. And part of the, you know, answer, well, Mommy, why can't you just think for yourself? Part of the answer is, well, when we get married, we exchange an individual life for a together life. Two people are now one. And it would go both ways, right? It would be a husband who needs and should continually connect with his wife about decision-making. And just like you did, connect with your husband.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes back to Ephesians chapter 5 for the role of the husband. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word. And in our marriage conferences, we just walk through that. It's love, serve, lead, love, serve, lead. And you find the dreaded S word there in Ephesians 5 also, right? How wives submit to your husband. I personally think that the way we talk about submission is way too simplistic a lot of times in the church. Well, actually, we don't talk about it anymore because it's too hot, much of a hot potato to talk about, so no one talks about it. But those that do, they just think it's, well, that means the husband makes all the decisions. I don't think wives submit to your husbands is as simplistic as a decision-making process. I think it's a whole lot bigger than that, that the wife is supposed to be in submission, which means the husband has a mission. He has a compelling mission and vision for his life, and the wife is unified in helping the husband succeed with his mission. Mm. So what had to happen, this was 13 years into our marriage. Oh, I wish that this had happened when we were engaged, because we had so many problems early on. Finally, I had to come to Amy, and I had to say, honey, okay, let me tell you why I think God made me. I think God made me to love him and glorify him, and the number one way that I'm supposed to love God is by loving you and serving you and leading you. And I think God's brought us together for the kingdom purpose of raising these kids to love Jesus. That's my mission in life. Now, honey, will you help me succeed? And what does the Christian woman say to that?
Yes, of course.
If your mission is to love me, sign me up. I submit to that.
Right.
And now we've gone from two to one. I understand that my mission is her. She understands that her mission is me, and we understand that our mission is them.
That's so good. You know, and part of what I'm alluding to in this question is really the attack on the family and the way the family is structured biblically. You know, I think that today what we would be celebrating is the wife usurping authority over the husband. I think that our culture is craving that. Our culture calls for that. And so it's sort of the year of the woman, if you will. And we have an incredible, I think, opportunity to show something that goes against the grain of culture. You know, it wasn't too long ago that our culture kind of mirrored biblical principles. Even if people had never read the Bible, the culture was just kind of doing the same thing. They were kind of hitting it, even if it wasn't intentional. But now they're intentionally not hitting it, getting as far away from scriptures or any type of external authority as possible. But the body of Christ, families, have an opportunity to do something different. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, amen. Well, you're talking about a pattern that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, right? That Adam withdraws and becomes passive, right? And Eve assumes control. And so that's been the temptation and template all through history, that men withdraw and become passive. Women take control. In other words, men and women have equal value, worth, and dignity, but we are equally sinful and equally messed up. Mm-hmm. And so you end up then with this great power struggle and power balance that you're seeing in the culture that you described right now. And part of the way the enemy removes any kind of biblical base from a culture is by removing the noble picture of manhood. And so if you talk to non-Christians, or you wrestle with this with the world, the idea that men and women have equal value, worth, and dignity, they will say that. But there's almost the idea in the culture right now, and this is very controversial, okay, so I'm sorry. There's almost the idea in the culture right now that men are inherently bad and that women are inherently good.
Oh,
and that
my
if
goodness.
Women were in charge of everything, well, there'd be no wars and there'd be peace everywhere because women are just wonderful. And the Bible, unfortunately, says that we have equal value, worth, and dignity, but we are equally messed up. Mm-hmm. And we equally bring disaster everywhere we go, and we
That's
all
right.
need the grace and transformation of salvation and the miracle of regeneration in our hearts, and we need God's word as our guidepost.
Amen. You know, and I'm the only reason I want to move on is because I don't want us to miss an opportunity to talk about generations. But I want to say that this is another one of those topics that we could spend a considerable amount of time on when you talk about what is now being defined as toxic manhood. I mean, this is a spiritual attack. And I think that a lot of our listeners are able to see this, but this is not something that is just sort of, you know, popped onto the scene. This is an intentional attack levied against the family and God's design for the family. And I know we could keep talking about it, but if you're okay, we'll move on and we'll talk about
sure.
generations following Jesus as a family. Where does the heart and the motivation come from to create this kind of series and then to make it available to the church?
Yeah. Well, this is our latest resource from our ministry. I cannot tell you how excited I am about it. It is an 8-part video Bible study, okay? And it talks about a lot of the things we've talked about today. But the thing that's totally unique about it is that it is designed for all the generations to do together. You can have a 5th-grade girl and grandma go through this together. You can get a Sunday school class or a small group with all the generations together and go through these scriptures, because it's not just a parenting series or it's not just a marriage series. It's about this whole idea that God created 2 institutions to build his kingdom in the world. He created the church and he created the family. And what would it look like for us to engage in our family relationships with our parents if they're still living, with your spouse if you're married, with a brother or sister if you've got those, kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews? What would it look like to accelerate this God-created small group for the kingdom of God? So we talk about forgiveness in the family. I don't know about you and Will. Amy and I, we sin at home more than anywhere else. you've got 5 kids, right? So you've got 7 sinful people all under
that's
the
right.
same roof.
Yes.
And that just makes daily problems. So the same
that's
way,
right.
I've got 9 people under the same roof. Hey, we are a needy group, the Reno family. And the Christian family's got to become an expert in giving and receiving forgiveness. And we talk about that just in an honest, biblical way. No pat answers, no superficial stuff. There's a session in there on sibling relationships. I think it's one of the only teachings out there on what is a Christian vision for sibling relationships beyond let's get along and be friends. And so this video series, again, you can bring this into your church. You can do it in a Sunday school class. You can do it in small groups, in homes. It's available on DVD. It's available on USB. And I want to say this now before I forget it. we've got a coupon code on our website. It's visionaryfam.com. If you are interested in this video series for yourself, your family, or your church, the coupon code URBANFAMILY, that's what you'd type in to the promo code line, it will give you 50% off this series, and we ship it to you for free. So, but you're going to have to type in that word Urban Family in that promo code, and that 50% will come off for all of your listeners. Because we are convinced that in order to accelerate the gospel in the world and to reach the culture, we've got to have a partnership between the church and the home. It can't be all the church. It's got to be accelerating homes for Christ.
Oh, let me just encourage our listeners, don't walk, run right now to your computer, which I know I need 21st century, right? You've got your computer in your hand right now. So you want to go to visionaryfam.com. That is an incredible blessing. I will just tell our listeners right here up front, that is an incredible blessing. And so if you enter the promo code URBANFAMILY, you get 50% off this teaching series, and it will bless your family. I'm excited. Now, I got to tell you, I was planning selfishly to go through this series by myself in the wee hours of the morning when I had, you know, quiet. I was going to just go through the series on my own. But now I'm thinking it through, and maybe I need to go through it with a small group and maybe have some of that intergenerational benefit and blessing there. So maybe I'll do that. But this is a beautiful series, and I'm excited about it. I appreciate the work that you guys have done, Dr. Rob. Thank you so much for being a blessing to the body of Christ. Real quick, before we run out of time, when you look at the family and when you look at the church, what are the things that encourage you about where we are and where we're going?
The thing that encourages me the most, this is just both personally, but then for everybody listening, God loves your family. He put your family together on purpose. He brought you into the world with these people. Now, you might say, well, look, I'm all for family, but this combination of people is just not working. I get that. He loves your family, and it is never too late for God to bring healing and reconciliation in a marriage relationship. Maybe you've got an adult child. You know, we're talking about parenting. Maybe you've got a 35-year-old. Maybe you raised them in the church, but now they're far from God. I just want to tell you, never too late, never too late, never too late for God to use you, be a blessing and encouragement, to lead that adult child back to Christ. The reason why we have hope is because God loves our families. He's given us His Word, so we're not rudderless and hopeless in the world. And our job is to just trust Him every single day and to take those bumbling, stumbling steps of faith and obedience.
Dr. Reno, you and your family, God bless you and your wife, Amy, and all seven of your kids. Thank you so much for holding the line. Thank you so much for encouraging the body of Christ. I have enjoyed this time so, so very much. I just can't even talk about it enough. Let me encourage our listeners again to go to visionaryfam.com, visionaryfam.com, and pick up the teaching series, Generations, Following Jesus as a Family. Enter the promo code URBANFAMILY and get 50% off. It's been great to be with you. Thanks so much for allowing me to fill in for Abraham Hamilton. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.